5 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo. Gambo's off. We hope he enjoys his holiday weekend. He'll be back with you on Monday. Lorenzo Alexander's filling in for Gambo today, and I'm not just saying this because he's sitting across from me. Thank you again for trust me, it's I know how hard it is to ask people to fill in the day before Thanksgiving. This is not exactly a work day for a lot of people, so thanks, man. It's appreciated that you came in here.
No worries. Just thank you, man, Janika Alexander, my beautiful bride, for allowing me to come in. Let's thank her. That's the real person.
She's the one who's like, wait, you're doing what?
Yeah.
You're working today?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny stuff. And it's just one more hour, and then we're good to go. We got Suns basketball coming up on ESPN 620. We'll keep an eye on that game. And, of course, a lot of talk still about the Cardinals, who are off this week, obviously. They got the bye week, enjoying the bye week, Thanksgiving. Cliff the other day talked about, man, I'm tired. I want to take a couple days off, go sleep on the couch, take a break, right? And we always talk about the physical grind and needing that bye week, the mental grind of being a coach. I mean, I got to imagine the bye week really comes in handy for those guys too.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons why I didn't want to get into coaching. You know, I had some opportunities, and just the amount of time that they put in to make sure that guys are mentally prepared to know how a team is going to attack them, it's just crazy. I mean, their schedules, not physically, but from a mental standpoint, as you just alluded to, is worse than any amount of time that the most, you know, time a player could take into putting into a week. So maybe not a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, but those guys get there at 5, and then depending on who your head coach is, let's say it's the worst, leave maybe 11:30, midnight. And so, I mean, that's the daily thing. You know, we get back from the games. Most of those coaches going right into the facility to watch the film and break it down and discuss, especially on a short week like this. Okay, what's up next? Okay, what do we need to do? What stuff are we keeping in? What are we throwing out? And so it's just hard. It's a hard life. You're not around your family that much either.
Yeah, no, it's a well-earned break for everybody, and it's a lot easier to enjoy it when you're – I mean – man, you're 9-2 going into the bye. I think AJ Green was talking about that the other day, where it's a really rare position to be in.
He knows better than most,
right? Yeah. You know, to go into a bye week and still have so much ahead of you to play for, to have the best record in the league like that, it's far exceeds our best hopes and wildest dreams about what this team could accomplish. If you would have told me, we talked about this the other day, if you would have said 9-8 and you're gonna get a playoff spot, I think most Cardinal fans would have taken that. I think most Cardinal fans would say, okay,
get in.
That's fine. Yeah.
Right.
But to be 9-2 with the bye, with the number one seed in the NFC, you know, in your back pocket right now, that nobody thought that was possible. Nobody dreamed that was going to be.
Yeah, nobody did. I mean, it was unforeseeable. I mean, obviously, internally, you think you have the capability of doing it, but until actually it comes true and you put the work in and see the production, you don't really even truly believe it.
Yeah. I want to read a tweet to you from, and this caught my eye, and I thought if nothing else could kickstart a good conversation. I want to read a tweet to you from Mike Jarecki, who works for the Cardinals, AZ
Mike.
Cardinals. You know Mike.
Yeah,
all know him. Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody who knows the Cardinals knows Mike. He tweeted out this morning, after 11 games, you can make a case for James Conner to currently be the Cardinals' MVP, considering Kyler Murray missed 3 games and Chase Edmonds was put on the IR on November 13th.
Yep.
Points out his rushing yards, 12 touchdowns, receiving yards, 1 touchdown, 13 total touchdowns. He's second on the team in points scored. He's first on the team in first downs gained, first on the team in third downs converted. And yet, you know, I know Kyler's missed 3 games. We give it to Kyler automatically if he hadn't missed 3 games.
Not me, but go ahead.
Who would you give it to then?
So, I'm a defensive guy. And so it's so typical to give it to the quarterback, right? Give it to the running back, right? Uh-huh. You see all this sexy scoring. And I really like Connors. I really like the toughness and mentality and the veteran leadership that he's brought to this team. And so I would say he is the best time offseason acquisition.
Okay.
Right, and the things that he's contributed, obviously what we've seen here with in the absence of Edmonds, and even when him and Edmonds was the 1-2 punch. But I'm going back with my guy, Marcus Golden. and what he's been able to do from a defensive perspective, because this defense kind of gets overlooked. You know, we've been talking about, that's kind of been the theme, overlooked, disrespected.
We talked a lot about that.
The team, this defense doesn't get any love for what it's been able to do. You know, only time we normally talk about them, well, they need to fix the running game or the rush defense. But the turnovers allowing this team to be put this team in a position to win games, especially when Kyler's been out, the turnovers, the back end. And it's really, for me, has been led by Marcus Golden and his passion and desire and his production. I mean, this cat has 10 sacks, four forced fumbles, and not even to talk about the interceptions that he's created off of his pressure and the leadership and the way he flies around, to me, has really galvanized this team, especially when the absence of JJ. He's been overshadowed and disrespected in some regard when I say that. Like, people don't mention his name enough, I think, on a national level, or even when we talk about it locally, as far as who he is and what he does.
I think there's a couple reasons for that. I mean, number one, people typically don't talk offense, or they don't talk defense, they talk offense, right?
Yeah, and I'm obviously playing a little bit.
Of course, I understand. Right. You're playing the contrary, and I get that, but I think, too, you've got a team, even though one of them's hurt, you've got the star power defensively for the Cardinals is J.J. Watt.
Yep.
And it's Chandler Jones. It's Buddha Baker to a certain extent.
And my number two would be none of those three either. It would be Jalen Thompson. Now, I watch a lot of film, so seeing him and what he does from a physical standpoint, hands, you know, coming down, hitting cats in the run game, what he does on the back end, I really like his impact, too. And I'm just – this is just me and, I guess, guys that I've gravitated towards.
You're just kind of riffing. Yeah, you know, that's
cool. Like, ooh,
yeah.
I like both of these guys, both of them, because we know about what those other guys do. But I really think as far as value and what these guys have been doing to help this team get to where they need to, because oftentimes the difference in being 9-2 are the guys that you typically don't talk about or aren't the stars. And I think those two guys have really raised their game to help this defense be in a position to be dominant the way they have.
So you're saying when a team is 9-2, you don't get to 9-2 unless you've got a Marcus Golden doing what he's doing.
Correct.
Unless you've got a Jalen Thompson doing what he's doing. Look, I know this. Some of these draft picks that Steve Keim has made over the last few years, it's starting to turn a little bit.
Yeah.
You're starting to get more production out of the draft than maybe you had in years past. Jalen Thompson, and I think Ken Summers from AZ Central has written about this in the past, so I'm kind of borrowing this thought from him. Jalen Thompson has sneaky been one of the best draft picks Steve Keim has ever. That was a fifth-round supplemental pick, right? And he is now, along with Buda Baker, that's one of the best safety tandems in the NFL. Jalen Thompson hits dudes hard. I mean, he is in search of contact when he's out there on that field. He has been a very, very good player for the Cardinals. He's a very good player.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that just flash. And so anytime I'm watching, you say, man, who is that? Oh, it's 34. Oh, my gosh. Who is it? Oh, man, it's Jalen again. My God. And so it's just him and Marcus have really just popped to me this entire season.
All right, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show with Zoe filling in for Gambo. Last season, Suns were one of the worst teams in the league when it came to pace. They played very slow. This year, that trend has changed. The Suns are playing very fast. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, or are the Suns staying ahead of the curve a little bit? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show. It's so funny. We've been talking all day long about the comments from Mikal Bridges about how, you know, no one's talking about you, no one's paying any attention. You know, sitting here during the commercial break with Zoe, Lorenzo Alexander is filling in for Gambo today, and we looked up at the NBA countdown show on ESPN. They don't even have the Suns game tonight. And what are they talking about? The Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, let's see, they're getting some love, they're getting some talk, right?
Yeah, it was in the context of can they threaten the Warriors, though? But they're talking about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't all just, hey, aren't they great?
Right,
isn't it
right,
awesome? It was, okay, they're good, but are they good enough to beat the Warriors?
Right, yeah. So, hey, you know, hey, whatever you can get, I guess, is good. And also, I you know, seeing Mike up there, Wilbon, you know, knowing that he's out here, he probably, hey, man, we got to talk about the Suns, man. They're out here playing well. We got to talk more about them.
Yeah, it was good to see him getting a little bit of love. I think that They play the Warriors next Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. I need to get to that game. That's what I should have asked our man Jason. Can I get some tickets? You know, I'm one of them bandwagon fans that's jumping on because I am from Oakland, so traditionally I'm more of a Warriors fan, but I live here in the Valley now, so I want to support. I want to go to the game.
I think as long as you promise not to wear Warriors gear then, they'll probably let you in.
Yeah, I definitely would never do that. Somebody give me some tickets. I'll rep. I got some Suns gear, yeah, too.
A couple things about the Suns. Their game against Cleveland is underway right now. I think it's 14-12 Suns just started. You can hear it on ESPN 620. We'll get you updated. And yeah, they do play the Warriors three times between now and Christmas Day. So plenty of opportunity to see how they stack up against Golden State. And I would imagine the Suns are going to get very, very up for those games. Two things that we've talked about with the Suns today. Number one, and I guess we did bring this up earlier, JaVale McGee's impact on DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
And our poll question today is, which newcomer to the Valley sports scene are you most thankful for? You said JaVale McGee. I think I don't want to put words into your mouth. The main reason you picked him was the impact that he's having on DeAndre Ayton and how he's making DeAndre Ayton seemingly a more aggressive player when he's out there on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, because that is legacy. That's going to be impactful long past, you know, the points that he's giving the team right now, the blocks, right? Because we all know that DA is a foundational player when you think about building your team, your roster, your organization, the skill level. The only thing that this organization, I believe, is waiting on to see the maturity and the growth. And JaVale McGee is helping expedite that process.
Yeah.
Because he's so relatable. And I keep going back to watching him when I was a Washington football player and he played for the Wizards, and just seeing the growth of the individual and the man and the person that he is today, and obviously becoming a three-time champion and being more productive, the basketball IQ, and now imparting that because he is so relatable to DA as far as, this is how you grow up in this league. These are some of the struggles I had. Hey, I see this greatness in you. Hey, watch how I work, right? That's always great when a guy works the way what he's talking. And so to see DA to start to embody some of those principles and incorporate that aggression into his game is only going to make this organization and the future of this organization more stable, consistent, mm-hmm, and much brighter. Because as DA grows and his impact, as we saw in the playoffs last year, this team can go do whatever. And it waned a little bit in the finals,
yeah,
right? And they didn't win it. And so if he's able to consistently find himself in that air of mentality, this organization can win a lot of championships.
Yeah, they can. And there's one play in particular, and I know it's just one play, and one play over the course of an entire basketball season probably doesn't mean that much because they play so many games and so many minutes. But there was a play the other night against San Antonio where DA is standing there at the free throw line, mm-hmm, with his back to the hoop. Devin Booker goes around him. DeAndre Ayton fakes the handoff to him like he's just going to hand it to him. Because DeAndre Ayton, for the better part of his 3 years in the league, hasn't done anything but hand the ball off to Booker in a situation like that, everybody bit, right? Like, so everybody's trailing Booker on the play. DeAndre Ayton turns to his left, takes a couple dribbles. San Antonio is late to react, so they come over and they foul him as he aggressively goes to the hoop. And the big thing after the game was Devin Booker, apparently, while Ayton was shooting his and-one free throw, was like, man, I have been waiting three blanking years for you to do that,
yeah, right?
To make a play like that. And people saw that, and they've wondered, is that JaVale McGee? Is that, because that would have been a JaVale McGee thing to do, right? There's the rim. Go attack it as hard as you can. Don't think, just react. And when you see that no one's rolling to you, go after it as hard as you can. And like we talked about earlier in our roundtable, if the Suns can get to the point where they don't need a JaVale McGee to push Ayton to be like that, they don't need a, he just does it on his own,
right,
then you've won, right? Then there's that, the success with DeAndre.
And they're
Ayton
on that path to that right now. I think oftentimes because of the society and the culture we live in, we want to skip the hard, right? We want to just get to the other side. And right now he's in that part of hard where he is learning how to insert himself,
such
be aggressive,
a great point.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's just where we're at. You know, like I mentioned earlier, my cousin wants him to be Shaquille O'Neal right now. It doesn't work. Everybody's not birthed like that or with that mentality. And you have to learn. Mentorship has to happen. Growth has to happen. And we're watching it before our eyes. And it's going to be so sweet when he does become that guy. And then in 10, 15 years, he'll be JaVale McGee to somebody else, right? And
yeah.
So that's just the cool part of being able to watch sports and guys develop and become and grow into their own, and then it's much more fruitful too.
Yeah, and I think the other cool part about Ayton too is that on this team, he does not need to be Joel Embiid. He does not need to be Karl Anthony Towns. The Suns don't require that out of him, right? They don't. He could he go, and I'm stealing this line directly from Bright Side of the Sun. I read an article about this morning, but I want to give him credit. But could he go out there and put up numbers like Karl Anthony Towns? Yeah, he probably could. Would they win basketball games if he did that? I don't know. I mean, that's just not the way they're constructed right now. He's doing what he needs to do in the context of how this roster is built, and he's doing it very well. And the fact that he's accepted that role and embraced that role, man, that's one of the most important things that could have happened in this.
But to D Book's point, I think asserting himself and knowing when to do it, right, more often is going to open up the floor and allow this team to be more free-flowing and cuts and all that other stuff, because then they can't just hone in on one person per se. So as he continues to grow and learns himself and being more aggressive and know those spots, this team is only going to get that much better.
You can text us your thoughts about the Suns, about DeAndre Ayton on the FanDuel text line. You can text us at 620-620 if we get a chance. We'll read the best ones on the air. I can tell you right now, 4.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, and the Suns are beating the Cavaliers 24-19. Devin Booker, 11 points on 5 of 5 shooting so far from the floor in leading the Suns to this 5-point lead against the Cavaliers. So that's the score there. Chris Paul's added 4. Mikal Bridges already has 5 as the Suns shooting 82% so far to start this game. And hey, look, there's former son Ricky Rubio. I remember Ricky Rubio. Yep. He's on Cleveland now. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Steve Keim made a lot of great moves this season. And granted, it's early, but one that hasn't gone as planned is rookie Zaven Collins. Is it that big of a deal? We'll talk about it next with Zoe here on the Burns and Gambo show. 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. Suns, it looks like it's going to be one of those high-scoring affairs. 32-26. They're shooting 86% from the floor. That's probably going to come down. 32-26 right now with about 2 minutes to go as the Suns and the Cavs playing in a real back-and-forth offensive-minded game. You can hear that one on ESPN 620. Lorenzo Alexander, he's put in the work today, the day before Thanksgiving on what is normally a day off for just about everybody. Not really sure why he said yes to filling in for Gambo today, but we're very grateful that he did.
Yeah, it's all because of you, man. You know, they told me who I was going to hang out with. I've never done a show with you. I said, let me try something new. You know, Gambo's thinking about retiring in about 4 or 5 years. I may be ready then.
Smart.
So I got to test everybody out to see who I potentially may want to work with one day.
The Burns and Gambo show becomes the Burns and Zoe show.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't even really have to change it up all that much, right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Save a bunch of money on the promotional material. We just have to, you know, the GAMB.
Right.
Just wipe that out. Just put in a Z, right? Instead. See, like where your head's at. You know the guy's going to retire in a few years. You're just trying to figure out where your place is. That's cool.
Exactly.
That's cool. We were talking about Steve Keim earlier and how maybe nobody has had a better year than Steve Keim from you know, Thanksgiving of 2020 to Thanksgiving of 2021. I don't think there's anybody in Valley sports outside of maybe Devin Booker and Chris Paul for going to the NBA Finals who has had a better year than Steve Keim. And I swear I'm not saying this to harp on the one thing that hasn't worked out. But there is one thing that hasn't really worked out, and that's Zaven Collins.
Yeah.
It's been slow for him, and despite the fact that literally the day he was drafted, we were told, oh, no, he's gonna start.
Right.
He's going to be the starting inside linebacker, and that's just how that's going to be. It hasn't happened that way yet. And just because it hasn't happened that way doesn't mean Zaven Collins is any kind of a failure.
Yeah.
But it does – They put, and you know this,
they established the expectations.
They put a lot of expectations on him right away, and it hasn't happened yet. From your perspective, is it that big of a deal? That it hasn't happened yet?
No, I think because if we look back and it was for different reasons, Isaiah Simmons, right? He was also drafted really high, expected to have a huge impact, and for whatever reason, it didn't click right away. Obviously, he had to deal with a COVID and no offseason. He had some other adverse moments that maybe contributed to it. But after a full offseason, being around the coaching staff, being around Vance Joseph for a full offseason and having some experience under his belt, he's come out and been very productive playing, inside linebacker, Sam on the linebacker, walking out and playing nickel, right? He's grown up so quickly. And so I look at this coaching staff and how they handled Isaiah Simmons and some of the hardships. And he had actually some, I would say, a harsher time, like, on the field, like, man, like that first game versus Kittle's, like, my gosh, this is the NFL moment?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus Zaven Collins. And so I have trust in Vance Joseph, that coaching staff, to help Zaven become ready to play more substantial time next season. And he's already playing, 40%. We've seen 30%. Obviously, he's doing it a little bit with the injuries. But, again, all rookies aren't created equal. And we've talking about D.A. in the same manner. It's a process for some guys. It takes some time. Playing my linebacker is extremely difficult. I mean, the mentality that you have to have, the physicality, the fundamentals, and then the IQ of understanding what is occurring and what the coaching staff is asking you to do, especially in the Vance Joseph defense. When you watch him on third down sometimes, you're like, man, what is going on out here, right? It confused the Seattle Seahawks. And so everybody's not necessarily ready to handle that workload from a mental standpoint early on. And you pair that with him maybe not being ready from a fundamental standpoint, it becomes hard. And so you want to get his feet wet, take him along slowly, and then I think next year he'll be ready after having a full offseason.
And I think none of this would be that correct myself before I even say it. I really don't think it's that big of a deal because he does have time to contribute and it's the rookie learning curve and all that stuff. I think the only reason why it's a talking point is that the bar was set so high for the kid right out of the chute, right? I don't know about you, but for me, it was just so darn unusual for a coach and for a general manager to basically gift him snaps and gift him the role before he went out and earned it. And I understand he's a first-round pick, and sometimes those are the expectations you have for a first-round pick. It just felt so, to me, so unnatural to, he's the guy. Right. He's the guy before he'd even put on a shoulder pad, It felt weird.
Right, that's more of a cultural thing that's happened in the NFL, and you've been in the industry for a long time, and so that wasn't always the norm. But over the last, 10 years or so, rookies play more often, and so there's been a changing of the guard as far as how we view rookies and in what we think they're capable of doing much earlier in their career versus when I first got in the league. It was like, hey, rookie, shut up, sit over there, and I'll let you know when I'm going to let you play, versus now it's an expectation. Yeah, and it's just how it is of, hey, we've invested in you, we believe in you, and we want you to come in and start. And somebody, I think they wanted to build him up and say, hey, we're behind you. So we came in, confident about what he was being asked to do, and it didn't work out, and it's fine, and that's why you have solid veterans like Hicks that's been able to step in and I think leave off where he did last year and be impactful, make plays, get the defense lined up, and make plays at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's I'm looking at, man, this I used to, so I'm, what now what I have in front of me right now is the Cardinals draft history from the last several years. And I had this site bookmarked because I used to go back on it all the time and say, man, that guy no good, that guy no good. You look at this now, all right, 2021 draft. Okay, we just got done talking about Zaven Collins. Rondale Moore in the second round. Marco Wilson in the fourth round. He's contributing. He's had rookie ups and downs.
He's playing corner. That's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. And he's out there doing it, right? His snap count is through the roof. He's playing a ton. 2020, Isaiah Simmons is obviously, he's playing 100% of the snaps most of the time. Josh Jones has been kind of uneven, he's still learning, and it's not quite happened
and
for
offensive
him yet.
Linemen normally take a little bit of time, because I remember early in the season, again, I text Gamble, ooh, man, who is Josh Jones? I like him. And then we've seen a couple of games where he struggled, and I want people to be patient with it, because I know a guy named Tyler Wyatt, who's an all-pro guard right now for the best line in the football, the Cleveland Browns. But his first couple of years, I used to go against him in practice all the time. I was like, man, I don't know if this dude is going to make it because I'm out here killing you, man. You know, and I'm not, and I'm just an average pass rusher. Now he's an all pro.
But even then, okay, Lecky Fotu, fourth rounder, guys playing.
Yep.
Rashard Lawrence, guys playing. Eno Benjamin, the guys playing. Then you go back to 2019, Kyler Murray, Byron Murphy. Zach Allen. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are guys. You start to go back and you look at, okay, 2018, Christian Kirk in the second round, Chase Edmonds in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
2017, that was the Buda Baker draft. I mean, you're starting to see, yeah, there was the disastrous 2016. That was the Robert Kimdichie, Brandon Williams.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, that was a disaster. But
right.
Every single draft since then, you're starting to see kind of the fruits of those. You're starting to see the results
right.
In the drafts where even so a guy like Zaven Collins, okay, it's cool that he's not contributing right away because there are other guys from this draft who are, and you're starting to see guys from the last several drafts who have really come through for the Cards.
And that's why this team is really good. Great teams are able to draft and keep their talent. Does a couple of things. Obviously, you're able to develop those guys, but then you don't have to pay those guys for quite a little bit of time, and you're able to do some other pieces in free agency that you would like to versus trying to find your whole team in free agency, kind of like what the Rams are doing, right? There's no stability in that because at some point it's going to bust. And so I really like what Steve Kime has been able to do over time, consistently bringing guys that they've developed that are now becoming staples on this organization and this team.
Yeah, and of course, when I talk about that 2019 draft, okay, I'm talking about Kyler Murray. I'm talking about Byron Murphy.
Yep.
And I'm talking about Zach Allen. I didn't even mention Jalen Thompson.
Oh,
he was a fifth round supplemental guy in 2019. That's a hell of a draft right there, right?
To get
your franchise quarterback, a potential franchise cornerback in Byron Murphy.
Yeah, he's nice.
A really good part of your defensive line in Zach Allen. It looks like he started. And Jalen Thompson. I mean, those four foundational pieces in that draft that potentially could be one of those drafts that you look back on and go, that was the one where it all flipped because you got four really good parts out of it. That's how sometimes these things happen.
It's trending that way for sure.
When we come back on Burns and Gambo, first let me remind you, of course, you can always text us your thoughts on what's going on, what we're talking about on the show, the FanDuel text line. You can text us at 620-620, and if we get some time, we'll read the best ones on the air. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Chandler Jones, Defensive Player of the Week yet again. The question now has become, what will the Cardinals do with him in the offseason in terms of paying him? We'll talk about that coming up. Zoe filling in for Gambo on Burns and Gambo. Final segment of the show before we call it a night here on Burns and Gambo. If you hung with us, we really appreciate it because we know that there's a lot of travel plans out there, a lot of trips to the grocery store, a lot of trips to Total Wine or whatnot to get everything that you need for this weekend. Maybe you're headed to the airport, whatever the case may be. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Zoe filling in for Gambo, who took the day off. You've got your big turkey bowl tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Just watch out. MVP, baby. Going for it. Can't wait.
So running back, wide receiver,
it doesn't matter.
Quarterback.
You know my nickname, right? One man gang. It's just whatever my team needs, that's what I'll be. Safety, linebacker, corner, running back, receiver. Quarterback. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter tomorrow.
Two-hand touch, flag.
No, it's flag.
Football,
it's flag.
Okay.
And if I happen to be guarding you, you know, because we got a couple of dads that still like to try to mix it up. You know, I may put my hands on you if I'm man-to-man on you, you know, make it a little physical. So forgive me. You know, wear your mouthpieces. Tomorrow, you know, if you're listening, you know, make sure you bring it.
Serious question now. How serious is this game tomorrow?
How serious everybody else is taking it.
Are you bringing a mouthpiece to the Turkey Bowl game tomorrow?
I don't need a mouthpiece. Everybody else needs a mouthpiece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just watching out for everybody else. I'm not worried about me. I don't need one.
I need to put a mouthpiece in right now.
I used to play NFL games without a mouthpiece.
Eric, did you just notice the intensity of the broadcast just went way up when we started talking about this?
Yeah, it was at the beginning, too. I was like, I'm happy I don't run in that circle. I'm not playing in that game.
If I if I have a flaw, like it's probably that I'm ultra competitive, and it doesn't really matter. You know, my 7-year old, we're playing, you know, I don't know, checkers or shoot around outside. I'm going to beat you. He has to earn the right to beat me. It's just how I'm wired. I can't help it. My wife doesn't really like it when we play games. I'm just ultra competitive, and I can't control it.
Wow.
Are you going to coach the kids' game too? Are you?
I coach my kids, but I keep that in perspective. I'm not one of those dads that's just, you know, you got to do it right. It's more for me.
But there's two turkey bowls tomorrow. There's the kids first.
There's the kids' game.
And then there's the adults.
The adult
are
games.
You coaching the kid? Are you a coach for the kids?
Yeah, we'll help organize them. Most of the kids are fairly old. Like the 11 to 12-year-olds, you probably won't have to help them too much. They figure it out. But and then the 70 or 8-year-olds will be fine. So they're getting older, so you don't have to, like, hover over them.
Full 100-yard field? How?
So, I actually run a flag league, so I have 2 70-yard like fields you can lay the lines out. So we'll probably have, like, a couple of games going on at the same time.
And there are – we talked about this earlier in the show, but for the new audience, there are other former NFL players.
Yeah, if you want to call it. Yeah, they did play. But, you know –
Billy Cundiff is going to be out there, right?
Who is pretty fit and pretty athletic, but he is a kicker. You know, I love you, Billy.
Fair.
And then Matt Shaughnessy, who played defensive end here and also in Oakland, he doesn't care. He's just going to be out there.
And he's a firefighter now, right?
He's a firefighter. Wow. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he has enough action at work every day to care about a flag football game. You know, I don't get no action, so I got to make it.
So is everybody else out there just like, and like, no offense, but like, schlubby dads like me, you know, mid to late 40s, a little bit overweight. I mean, that's sort of not very slow, not very fast,
well,
not very athletic.
Outside of Matt, I'll definitely be the young dad, versus me being the old person for the last 4 or 5 years of my career. So it'd be cool to be on the other end. But then there's a couple of dads out there that are pretty fit. Nate Snell, who he actually coaches his boys over at Christ Lutheran and is a physical therapist. So, you know, he looks the part, but he doesn't have anything for me. I mean, so
does everybody else know that you're taking this game this serious?
I don't know, and I don't care. They'll find out tomorrow. I've put it in the group chat. You know, I posted. Man, I can't think of my man. The can't wait Jets linebacker Bart Scott.
Can't wait.
You know, everybody. Oh, we're excited about the game, and I put that intensity of picture in there. Can't wait. So, if you have any context of what Bart Scott was referring to, in that, they should understand my intensity that I'll be bringing.
This is outstanding. I wish I were in town to watch this.
And then I get to earn, you know, Thanksgiving, the meal after. I can't wait for that either. You know, my wife is cooking. My mom is cooking. My cousin's bringing some good food. Can't wait for the mac and cheese. I don't know. Did you hear about Matt Judon?
You told me about what Matt Judon said, downplaying the mac and cheese.
I don't know. How do you feel about mac and cheese, Eric?
I had mac and cheese while you guys were on air today.
Real mac and cheese or Kraft mac and cheese?
It's like in between. I made it last night, Velveeta.
Oh, yeah. No.
No, but no, there's a difference. No,
that's
there's
the
a difference.
Issue right there.
Hey,
that's
no,
what Matt Judon was talking about.
There's a difference, though.
Velveeta is a step up.
Right. It's not Kraft, but it's not homemade, baked, all different types of cheeses in there, the breadcrumbs.
That's what I'm referring to. We're talking about Thanksgiving dinner.
Talk about mac and cheese. Not mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Right, yeah. Nothing out of a box.
I love it.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out, because Matt Judon, it's just cheese and noodles.
You know, but here's the thing. All right, like I saw the morning show did this, and they had the question, what's your least favorite Thanksgiving side dish? I don't have a least favorite Thanksgiving side dish.
I
Brussels sprouts, love them.
Yeah.
With Brussels sprouts with bacon, love them.
With bacon.
Green bean casserole, bring it. Bring it. Love it. Mac and cheese as well.
Why not?
Yeah. As long as it's, I mean, like, I don't know if I could pick my least favorite Thanksgiving side. I love them all.
Do
you have a least favorite? I mean,
if I had to pick, like, a least favorite meat, I would say turkey.
Okay.
Even though, I mean, obviously Thanksgiving, that's the main thing. But if I had to pick, you know, out of like the ham that we normally have in turkey, I would go ham before I went turkey. But as far as all the sides and dishes, I love it all. I mean, most people may not know this, but I was 315 pounds. I was a fat boy. And I still have that fat boy mentality when it comes to Thanksgiving. So I'll probably gain about 10 or 15 pounds after I put in work in the morning and earned it.
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point, I love it all.
I love it all too. I and the turkey thing, to me, that's an easy solution. Dark meat. You eat the dark meat and the turkey. The white meat is too dry. It's too, you know, the dark meat, and I'm good. And I can eat.
Yeah. And that was just me being trying to find something to answer your question, because I eat all the turkey. I eat the mayo sandwiches with the turkey the next day with the white bread.
So what we do, I'm going up to Flagstaff as soon as we're done with the show here. My son and his girlfriend are picking me up, and we're driving up there to meet my wife and daughter. They're already up there. The day after Thanksgiving, we take the leftovers.
Yeah.
And we take the leftover rolls, right? Cranberry, mayo, turkey, stuffing, crammed in between two. And we take those out into the wilderness, and we cut down our Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We do that whole National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation thing. I almost love the sandwiches as much as I love the meal, right? I almost think they're just as good.
Right.
All right, so we were supposed to talk about Chandler Jones. He is Defensive Player of the Week. Congratulations, Chandler.
Enjoy Thanksgiving,
absolutely. Time for our What's On Tonight, and it's brought to you by Visi Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. Here's what we're going to be watching tonight. Suns basketball currently losing right now they're tied. Devin Booker just tied it 48-48 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Zoe, fantastic, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for filling in today.
Yeah, anytime, brother. Really enjoyed it.
You got it. The Big Red Rage is next. We'll see you Monday here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.